Dave said.
And I know it may be an unusual message for this time of year, but it's really not when we come and really think about it. Because really, there is a holiday that we have celebrated in the last couple, 2 or 3 months or weeks or whatever. But you didn't even give me none.
She did have it.
Huh? I don't have it either.
Yes, she did.
Where is it at? You didn't put it in my beer bowl. I ain't got a...
Are you sure it's
not in that, sweetheart?
Must there be in the
check? Must be. Well, just go and write a check then.
I mean, carry a checkbook.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I would double up Sunday. But, you know, I got to thinking about it now. I was working on it here a while back, and the title of it just come out, doing everything. And what it's speaking about is speaking about cards. You know, we all, one time or another, we've all sent out some kind of thank you card, a birthday card, or whatever. But during the year of all the holidays and all the days of any year, I think the holiday that probably the U.S. mail carries more letters and more cards in that time of year, and that is Christmas. Wouldn't you agree with me, Bill? That Christmas, people, that's when people will get together and they will just send out cards. But I want to speak about something else tonight in that aspect and talking about the cards in the mail and everything. But I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Alrighty, in verse 13 of chapter 1 in the book of Ephesians, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know, each one of us, we have been sealed with the promise that one day that seal is going to be broken. And who's going to break that seal? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We're going to be sealed until we meet him there in heaven. And then he's going to break that seal. Now, I can go back and I can remember one of the places that I worked at, we had boxcars coming in. And we're bringing the merchandise through the the rail yard and everything, and the boxcars. We'd get the tow motor out, and we'd get the little platform out, and we'd place that on the concrete of the building, and then on the platform of the rail car. Then we'd go in, and before we could go in, and before we could really take and make sure that the ramp that we'd put in there was secure enough, because we had to put the ramp had to go there so we could get over to the boxcar. And every boxcar that come in there had a seal on it. And each seal had a number on it. That seal, could nobody break the seal, even the conductor of the train or any other individual. They could not break that seal until it hits its final destination. And the owner of the product is the only one that could break the seal. Think about that now. Who owns us? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to break that seal. We know that Satan, he's done everything he can. He's tried to break us down. He's tried to break us away from the Holy Spirit. And he's tried to break that seal where we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. In thinking about that, in this time of, in December, that's the month that the United States, and I reckon some of the other countries, have set aside to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, in thinking about that, I think it was mine. Yeah, it was. Ain't nothing but woman, nothing but just one of them. People want to say they want to give you something and then gonna charge you for it. I ain't never heard of nothing like that, but he has sealed me. And he has sealed you. Nobody can break that seal. So nobody can get inside and break the seal between the inward man and the outer man. There's a seal there that is there between the two, between the inner man and the outer man. Nobody can break it. Satan has tried his very best to break it. He's tried his very best to break the seal for me. He's tried his very best to discourage me to the point that I just want to give up. But thank the Lord always has got somebody in mind that's sitting right behind us or right beside us or wherever, to help us to get over that trouble spot that we've got ourselves into. Mine is my daughter, Christy. And I tell you, I get down. Yeah, I get down and I have pity me parties. I'm not going to tell you no different. I do. I'm human. But I have pity me parties. But there's not one person on the face of this green earth. It's green, and that's Christy, my daughter, our daughter. And she just don't help me, but she helps my wife also. She helps us. And she brings up stuff biblically that when she does, had it never come across my mind. But she does it in a way, and she does it in a way with the love of God. And she can get a hold to me, and she'll say, you just might as well just forget about it. You're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. I know you. You're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. I know that you had just having a little pity me party. You're a little down now. I understand that. And what you need to do is just go on and she'll take that little small violin that she's got and she's play that little small violin. And then the next thing I know, here she comes back in my study and she'll bring me a piece of chocolate cake or something. She knows how to get to me. But you know, we all are like that. We're all subject to falling. But we all have someone else that's with a family, maybe a church member, maybe a friend, that if we'll just take what they have. And what we need to do, first of all, we need to put our tongue back in our mouth. We need to take it and we need to close the lips. We do not need to speak while they are speaking. And while they're speaking, our ears will start perking up. Why? Because we know they're right. We know what they're saying. I know what my daughter's saying. I know it's right. It's 100% right. Why? Because it's biblically. I mean, that's what she does. She just don't give me something just up off of the cuff. She gives me something from God's Word. She helps me with it. That's the reason that I can keep on going. You know, I said one time here, I believe it was, that the Lord Jesus Christ is my spiritual rock. Spiritually speaking, He is my rock. I can go to Him and He can get through me anything He wants to. But when He does it, sometimes it's pain for it. Sometimes he will allow me to go through something that I was not expecting. But then I would struggle to get to the other side. But when I got to the other side and I looked back, I could understand it. Sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, there's so many people out here today that don't realize the blessings that God has bestowed upon them. They don't realize what they have. You know, there's other countries and there are other states in the United States where they just can't come to church anytime they want to. Now, we have it right here in the States. But we can go to any church that we want to without any problems. But there's but one problem with that. We do not search out Scripture from what we believe and what they believe. They need to search the Scripture and make sure what the individual behind the pulpit is preaching, if you're preaching God's Word, or if you're just preaching somebody to tickle their ears. And that goes on a whole lot today. That's the reason we don't have people coming out to church. That's the reason the church is in the shape it's in. Is because the man of God has got away from pleasing the Lord. What the man of God today, the average man of God now, today, is trying to do everything they can to please the people. You can please the people all you want to, but if you don't please God, you ain't done a thing. You ain't done nothing but hurt the people. And I'm not here to hurt the people. I'm here to help you. And you're here to help me. Because see, the only difference between me and you, the only difference is that God put a calling on me to preach His Word. And then He started dealing with me about pastoring. And when He done that, I told Him, I said, Lord, I said, I'll go out here and I'll preach. I said, but I can't pastor. I said, Lord, I just can't pastor. I said, because I just don't have that type of love. And He kept on worrying me to death. I'm going to put that in the English way you can understand it. He worried me. He worried me to death until I surrendered. But before I surrendered, I had to ask the Lord to do something. I said, Lord, You have got to give me a pastor's heart. You've got to give me that heart of love. And I don't want to be one of these type pastors that goes out here and if they have somebody in the hospital or somebody that they just visit the hospital certain days of the week or certain times during the day. I need the pastor's heart and that type of heart that you have for your men. I said, if you'll give me that, I'll go and I'll do the very best I can. I said, but it's going to have to be up to you to do it. I can't do it. You know, first of all, and I'm going to use Bill as an example. Because I know the last job he had. But you know, if there wasn't anybody out here today, even when Brother Bill was working at it, and even the other mail couriers out here today, if there wasn't individuals outside of them that was writing the letters and putting addresses on the letters, they would not need no mail carriers, would they? They would not need no mail carriers. So first of all, you've got to have people that's willing to write the letter. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, He's given us that authority to write the letter to where we can share it with people. And I'm not talking about the letter of the gospel. I'm talking about the the biblical letter of an individual self. We need to write a letter about what God has done for me. What God has done and what God is going to do for me. That's the type of letter that I need to present to the people. Because if I write that letter, I've got to put an address on it. And when I put an address on it, what am I doing? I am finding someone to go visit. To go visit and to tell them about the letter that I wrote. That I wrote of my life. Because see, each one of us, the day that we was birthed into this world, we started our own biography. Each one of us is writing our biography. Every day, we're writing it. One day, it's going to have an end to it. Like a whole lot of the movies that you see on TV, which today they don't, I don't see them hardly that much, but I knew back in the 60s and the 70s and the 50s that when they showed a movie, at the end of it, they would show the people that was in it, but the very last thing that they would show, it would say, the end. E-N-D. The end. But when we come to that point, when our life ceased to be anymore, there's nothing else that nobody can say about us. There's nothing else that my wife can say about me. Nothing else what my daughter can say about me. Because if I didn't live what I said and what they're thinking, what did I give them? I gave them a bunch of false promises. False promises. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 says, this is Paul speaking. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that loves his appearing. The next thing that we need to have, and the next thing that the mail carriers have to have on the letter before they can deliver the letter, yeah, they can have a letter there. They can have the return address of someone. And they can have the address of someone. But unless this has a stamp, it cannot be delivered. Right, Bill? Cannot be delivered unless it's got that stamp. So if we're not sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, if we're not sealed by His promise, we cannot enter into heaven. We have to be sealed before we can enter in or before we can be delivered to Him. It has to have a stamp. Not only that, it has to have an envelope. It has to have something the way you just put the letter in. I know a whole lot of times today that you'll see now that they just taken an eight and a half by 11 piece of paper, and they just writing a lot of everything on it, and then they take it in and folding it. Well, that's okay. But see, to put to the Lord, we can't get delivered that way. We can't get delivered that way. Why? Why can't we get delivered the same way that some of the people in the city, in the state, in this country, delivers the mail? How many of you has ever got something, any mail, that did not have an envelope? I know all of you have. I have. I get them all the time. Speaking about revival and stuff. But see, the mailman or the mail lady that goes in to the mail office, to the post office, and goes into that box and get a hold of the letters in the mail that's stuck in that box. It has to be addressed. You don't have to have a return address. You don't have to. But the majority of people will put a return address on it. It's got to have a stamp on it. But see, we can take that, and we can take a piece of paper, we can fold it up as small as an envelope. But see, people can still get into that. The mail carrier, if the mail carrier wants to see exactly what's inside of that letter, it won't take the mail carrier, they can take it. They can undo the letter. They're not supposed to. I don't reckon. But when they undo that letter, they can read what's in it. They can read what's in it. But see, when we are delivered to the Lord Jesus Christ there in heaven, first of all, we have to have the seal. Second of all, we have to have the stamp. We have to be, the letter has to be addressed. And it also has to be folded and put into an envelope and sealed to where nobody else is supposed to be able to bust it or go into it. But some of them do. They got to, because when some of my mail comes, it looks like it's been in the mud and everything else, and they done looked in it and everything else, and I can't half read it sometimes because of the mud and stuff. But it says in verse 24 in 1 Peter, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. I know the whole lot of people taste that verse of scripture over in Isaiah chapter 53, and we was talking about the stripes there and being healed. They think that what Isaiah's speaking about there is speaking about the healing of the individual's body, but that's not what he's speaking about. That word healing there means the healing of the individual soul, and that's salvation. The debt that was paid. Man, we could not even pay back that debt. We couldn't even think about it. If I wanted to try to pay that debt, And if I could get on the phone and I could call every bank that there is in the world and said, I need all the money which you have. I got a debt I got to pay. They can say, well, are you going to be able to pay it back? Yeah, I'll be able to pay you back. And then they send me a certified check and all of that, of all the money here in the States. And then in the world, the international banks around the world, they will send me all the money that they have. Even over in Saudi Arabia. I mean, hey, over in the Saudis, I mean, they got trillions of dollars over there. And we owe, China, about 24, 26 million, a trillion now. So, in speaking about all that, that right there would not even put a dent into paying my sin debt. Why? See, when you do that, you put a price on an individual's life. What does Jesus say in the book of Deuteronomy? He says, the life is in the blood. The life of an individual is in the blood. But then when I was born again, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I not only had my own blood there that I believe the Father had corrected and had purified it, but I also had the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, shed on my life. I was washed. That's what the baptism means. That we have been covered with His blood. We have been dipped. We have been plummeted into His blood. We don't have no way out. We have to go that way. We have a whole lot of people out here say, well, I ain't going that way. I ain't going to go to this bloody religion thing. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you ain't going by the bloody religion, you ain't going at all. You're going to stay right here just right, probably. Because I don't even think even hell would take you. You know, with this in mind, the stamp, the mail, it has to be stamped. It has to have a stamp on it. But the mail that is sent out today, probably majority of them, I say, you don't have to, I don't think you do, Bill, have a return address on, do you? Huh?
It'll go, but they like
it. I know it. But as far as, it's not mandatory. It's not a law. But see, me and you and the Christians around this world that has applied, I mean, had Jesus apply His blood to the heart and to the soul, to the mind, to the feet, to the tongue, to the ears, to the eyes, they will not have a return address. Think about that now. We just got one address on it. What's that? Where's that address at? It's down Hollywood Square. I mean, not Hollywood. Pulled me, I caught my own self on that. Oh, me. No. It's there on God's main street. It's on the holy square. And we going there one day. I'm going. And my prayer is that I hope you're going, and I believe each and every one of you are. But you know what? But all of us has got family members. Some of them are not going. And we have to do what we can do. Because if we don't do it now, one day it's going to be too late for them. And I don't think God wants us to be too late speaking to them. Because just think about it now. What if you was in the same situation? And a family member saw you and maybe knew what you believed and what you didn't believe. And yet, they said, well, it's no need of me going to them. No need of me talking to them. Because they know me. They know what I used to be. But see, that's the thing. They know what you used to be. But do they know what you are today? Is the key. See, we have 6 people here tonight. 6 people. If each one of us would go to God with a sincere heart and naming our family members, naming them to God. God knows who they are anyhow. I know that. You know, but I believe it becomes more personal when we come out and call the individual's name. Call the name. Call the name. Because see, they need, if it gets saved, then they need to confess it before man. They need to tell man what just happened to them. They don't need to be ashamed of what God has done for them. They should rejoice more and more then because they know and they have just graduated to heaven. Their diploma says, I have just graduated, I have just finished the course. I have it right here with authority that when I take my last breath, I'm going to heaven. And if you've got somebody, a family member, a friend, or somebody that you say, well, Pastor, you know, I've talked to him before. It just seems like they just don't want to listen. All you have to do is call me. Give me an address, and I promise you, they will never know that it come from you or anybody else. See, because God knows everything. So if God knows everything, then God can reveal everything to me and to you. Our Father, we want to thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray, Father, for each one of these individuals here. Father, I believe these are some of your very choice servants here. That, Father, that they are longing within their heart and their soul, Father, to see something happen here at Faith Baptist Church. Father, because they've stood the test of time. They've been here. They've been through the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs. And Father, they've been faithful to you. Father, my prayer is tonight, God, is it somebody that we can be able to speak to? And Father, to where we can reach them for you. Lord, if there's somebody that I've spoken to with my own family members or somebody else that I cannot even reach, I just can't get a sense of what they're doing, and they can't get a sense from where I'm coming from. Father, if it's anything like that, I pray, Father, that you'll help me to give some of these individuals here the address and the phone numbers of the individuals or whatever, where they can go and they can talk to them. Father, because it's running out. Time's running out. Time is running out. Time is not on our side anymore. Time is running out for us. But Father, I know that we can lengthen that time if we'll go and do what you asked us to do. Father, because we know what the scripture says, that you came to this earth, you was buried, you was crucified for mankind. You do not want no one. I mean no one to escape the place of heaven, where they'll end up in a devil's hell. Father, give us all a heart, a caring heart, a loving heart, Father. Father, that we can be able to just share something with the people. And Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the service. I thank you, Father, for the singing. I thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of these people. I thank you for this church, the way you gave me, Father, and the flock. I pray, Father, that I can always try to be some kind of help to them. And Father, we do pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.